RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, to the Regulatory Review Select Committee's review of the new scope of practice from the Midwifery Council and its decision to consult on it. Is this a big win for gender-critical viewpoints in New Zealand? We've talked about this issue a number of times already here on RCR. To talk about this more this morning is Jan Rivers, founder of Public Good and spokeswoman for GenSpec New Zealand. Jan, thanks for coming back. Good to have you back again.
Great. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay, let's just spool back a bit. So from the Midwifery Council, their scope of practice, which has been there for, what, two decades, working within the letter of the law, ticking all the right boxes, they made some big changes, which kind of, if you read over how they put it in that review, women didn't seem to be too much part of the pregnancy process anymore, in word anyway.
That's right. There's a kind of interesting way of talking about gender theory initiatives that are coming into our society, and that they break organisations at their point of purpose. So, for example, we had the sports, Sport New Zealand encouraging, encouraging men to take part in sport, in women's sport, and now we've got the Midwifery Council removing women from the whole process of birth and midwifery. But luckily, a little bit like the sports issue, there is a kind of legal remedy here to complain about this. And that's why we're in the situation that we're in now. The Midwifery Council gazetted their scope of practice back in April. That means they kind of registered it as a piece of secondary legislation. And the important thing about the Midwifery Council is that it regulates midwifery, just like there is a council for every other health body. And as well as a scope of practice, it maintains a register. It takes complaints if midwives do something, you know, that's wrong or dangerous. And it also has an oversight of the code of practice, the detailed codes and scopes of how midwives operate. And it also has a big say in midwifery education. So this piece of work is sort of key to changes that are going to flow through the rest of midwifery. And the main thing that has happened is that after the scope of practice was registered, a number of complaints were made about the scope of practice by mostly by women who were concerned about what they had seen happen. And the two biggest issues are that it's not compliant with the law, i.e. the scope of practice clearly has to be a regulatable document. It has to be a legal quality document, and it wasn't. And the second thing was that it put women in second place to whānau. And that there's a reason why that is contrary to the law, and that is that the Health and Disability Commission Code of Patient Rights says that medical services are delivered to individuals, not to whānau or to groups of people, but to individuals. And then associated with that are all of their rights of privacy when they're receiving treatment and so on. And so there are two important ways in which the scope of practice was not ever going to be effective.
Yeah, which makes you wonder why it was even attempted.
I think the Midwifery Council set about it with an element of idealism, which is, again, is a problem. You don't legislate with idealism. You have to legislate with rules that are going to work. But the idea was about improving the quality of midwifery and better opportunities specifically for Māori mothers and babies. And that really hasn't been what's eventuated, I think.
Okay, so women is going back in.
It is, yes. The Midwifery Council have come up with an alternative scope of practice. And what they've said in the letter that they wrote, which came out just the week before last, they said the council agreed with the Regulations Review Committee that amendments could be made to the revised scope of practice to address the concerns that the Regulatory Review Committee has made. The Midwifery Council considers that these amendments address the committee's concerns while also retaining the original intent behind the scope. And they're basically telling the committee, if they don't have a problem with it, then we'll just go back and we'll open up the consultation again. So they recognise, obviously, that there's some other part of the process, which is that the consultation was previously inadequate and little notice was taken of it.
Yeah, so that could happen again, of course.
Of course it could, yes. Hmm. Yeah, so a lot of... The only clue that we have that things are moving on are these two letters. One of them recognising that there was a complaint and supplying a whole lot of information about their process. And this second, more recent letter that's just come out, which has got a proposed revised scope of practice, which reintroduces the word woman, more or less removes the word whānau from consideration. So it sort of removes that block to legality. But it also introduces that the midwifery scope of practice must take account of the needs of gender diverse people, which is kind of code for transgender people.
Yep.
So it doesn't take account of the needs of women with disabilities, women who can't speak English as their first language, women who don't have a lot of support, older women, younger women. You know, no other group of women are signalled as needing special care.
Which you'd think those would be ahead of the queue, actually, on what's in there at the moment. So, okay, it'd be reasonable to say then that that is, and I think you've used this language, some kind of Trojan horse.
I think one of the things that was interesting to me, because I followed this, is that as the process unrolled, which was now back in 2022, and there were two lots of consultation, late 2022 and one in 2023, the issue of gender identity becoming first and foremost, or even the issue of gender identity at all, was never included in any of the consultation documents. The benefits of doing that were not part of the process. And yet, clearly, that was the intent, because it's now made its way into the scope of practice. And similarly, there was no evidence base for giving primacy to whānau over individual women who were pregnant.
So what do we read into the now we're talking about this, the description whānau?
I am vexed, but it was a way of removing the word woman.
Yeah.
And there is obviously a case for every woman who's pregnant, every intending mother is much better off if they're supported by the people that they're close to. Obviously, that's the case. But the existing scope of practice, the one that's been replaced, already allowed for midwives to work with primarily the woman, but also with her extended whānau.
Yeah, but if you take women out and replace it with whānau, and you've also, and you're not talking about it too much, but in the background, you want to get this gender diversity component to it, drop kicking the word woman out of the scope of practice helps in that.
It absolutely does, yes. It sort of degenders or desexes the whole process of childbirth and motherhood. But there is a more important thing than that, really, which is that if you can say that women are not centred in motherhood and that agency should have been delivered to a group of people surrounding the woman, what other cases could you use for saying that actually, well, maybe the job that a woman takes, or maybe where a woman lives, or maybe who she marries, or maybe how many children she has, maybe those things would be better if they deferred to whānau as well. And so we're not only opening the midwifery practice to gender theory in all its ramifications, we're actually also opening a Trojan horse for women's agency in the world. And I think that's really, really important, because when society changes, if there are examples that can be pointed to make new law, new regulations, they will be pointed to. And I think it's absolutely naive to think that this wouldn't be used in other ways to limit women's agency. It seems to me that it's a very unwise thing to have done.
Gosh. Okay. Of course, there was Deb Hayes's petition, and we have hammered away on this quite a bit, actually, probably three or four interviews on this over the time. I'm wondering, how do we ever know if more talk and more awareness, because mainstream didn't go anywhere near this from what I could see, and we were reading stuff up at the time every time we talked about this to kind of see where the reporting was. But I wonder, you know, people talk, people share, if there has been some pressure come from a raised awareness, a general raised awareness. Maybe, maybe not, but I wonder.
It seems to me that we are living in a sort of balkanized media landscape. You would agree with that, I think, that, you know, some sectors like some kinds of news, and those sectors will never or will, I mean, I've considered communicating with some other news outlets, and I don't think that in general such an approach would be welcomed.
I'll try
over the next few days. Yeah.
Well, good luck. Let us know how you go. But, you know, sometimes, you know, if people hear enough voices, it can force things. Anyway, but there's the legal part of this too, which is very compelling.
That's right. I mean, one of the things that often is not so available in taking on these changes is that there often isn't a legal remedy. And in this case, there is a legal remedy. And what's really interesting is that when you try that legal remedy and you push at what's something that seems to be wrong, lo and behold, the behind the problem, the institutions are actually doing their jobs. And that's something to be very, very thankful about. We don't know exactly where this will end up. And one of the things that I'm quite surprised about and is not clear to me is whether midwives in general are aware that the scope of practice that they're being asked to be trained on is in fact the subject of a serious complaint. There's nothing on the Midwifery Council website or in the newsletters to midwives that indicates that by and large they are aware of these changes. They're simply being asked to be trained on the midwifery scope of practice that has now been the subject of a serious complaint, and they're being told that it came into force on the 1st of October this year. Mm. So, I mean, you know, there's obviously something going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm looking at their midpoint. It's a PDF, but I guess it's something that goes out to their members. Piece by Leslie Clark, who is the chief executive of the Midwifery Council. Mm-hmm. And there's no mention of any of this.
Yeah.
Not a skerrick.
I know.
You'd think that would be the big news of the week for the Midwifery Council to get to their members.
Yes. It's an intriguing situation, and it's a shame that there isn't more information available. And I'm a bit disappointed to be leaving you with just a conundrum, but that's the way things are. But throughout the last 18 months, there has been, through these regular newsletters at least, which is the only thing you can see as a member of public, there seems to have been very little communication to midwives in general about the status of the scope of practice. There may be other things going on that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, just circling back before we're done, on the gender thing again, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the word women, for people who are transgender ideology, if you are a man and you want to be a woman, then you presumably in your own mind come in under the category of women. So women, that one word, you don't need to talk about other genders after that. Do you? I mean, either you identify as a man or a woman, and if you're a man identifying as a woman, you're covered by the word.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Let's all think on that. All right. What do you expect to happen next, Jan?
There will be more that unfolds. I suspect that we may see the Regulatory Review Select Committee at some point reveal what it has asked the Midwifery Council to do, because that's really the missing point. And the second thing that we may see is that we may see that the Midwifery Council reopens its consultation on the revised scope of practice, and they may have been asked to take by the Regulatory Review Select Committee to take any comments and feedback made more seriously than was the case with the first.
Because that's what that tells us, isn't it? That they don't have faith in the consultation that has been claimed.
I think that is the second part. The first part is the legality, and the second part was the process, i.e. the adequacy of the consultation. And I think part of what's happened is that, you know, I've mentioned at the outset that there was a kind of idealism about this. And I think what happened was that the group of people who were given the task of coming up with a new scope of practice saw what they were doing as a big adventure, as a big idealistic adventure, but they didn't manage to take very many of the midwives along on that journey with them. And so when they started to sort of move away from most midwives' understanding of what their role was, they lost them. And the feedback was absolutely atrocious.
You know, okay, so that raises competence issues. You have disconnected yourself from the people, the very people that you claim to represent and police and all of that, if you're that disconnected, how competent are you?
Those are very serious issues that it's raised. I mean, one of the things that was really surprising to me was that the scope of practice, even reading it as a layperson, I could see that it wouldn't be legally regulatable. So did the Midwifery Council ever seek legal advice on these various scopes of practice? And did they ever take seriously any of the very, very serious complaints that were made by 13 out of 14 midwifery organisations who submitted, as well as most of the individuals? You know, the feedback was by and large incredibly negative. I'll just give you just one example of that is really the midwifery has a Maori name, Kaiwhakawhānau, and the Midwifery Council came up with a new term, kahu pokai. And they said that the term had been gifted to them. Oh. And usually when a Maori term is gifted, there is some kind of process. You know, it'll be somebody, you know, influential, somebody with high status, high
manner. Like having a street named after you.
Kind of like that. But they didn't explain the reason for the gifting of this name or its relevance. So even on the things which were intended to speak to Maori aspirations, there was a huge missing gap. And that was one of the things that people explained, that the initial word, Kaiwhakawhānau, there was a really important piece of work that was carried out about choosing that word for the profession of midwifery that's a long-standing.
Okay. Gee. Interesting, isn't it? Never a dull moment with this one. Jan, great to have you back. Jan Rivers, founder of Public Good, spokeswoman for GenSpect NZ. Thanks for coming back on, Jan.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.